Well, so how are you guys doing? Oh, okay. So if you don't know who I am, my name is Daniel Zupula, and I'm one of the lay pastor here in the community. And just like many of us all, sharing and living and exercising our heart in whatever it is, the corner of a life that the Lord has given us. I was asked to come and share this morning with you a little bit about a theme that Pastor Todd have chosen. He call it why we love .. And of course, you know, Jeb preached last week on why we love grace. That was really, really great. And you were very graceful as he spoke for a long time. That was good. And then you spoke the other day on why we love the Word of God, and that was so beautiful in it. And today I will be speaking on why we love church. And I need your help. I really, truly don't have much to say. Probably 5 minutes of a good content. The rest, if I continue, will be hot air. And I'm going to spare you hot air. And I'm going to just so you may go out of here early, and that's okay in my books. So what we're going to do, I'm going to just share with you what I have, the Lord have put into my heart. First of all, the question, why do we love church? To be very blunt, most of us don't. We don't love church. We don't. Why? And we know church by what we don't like. Maybe it is an experience that you have had with a leader or a pastor or myself, one way or the other, and it has bruised your experience of Jesus, of God in Christ, in the Spirit, and therefore it has tainted your view or your understanding of church. And if you are such a person, I'm truly sorry, truly sorry, that there is such a space in which, as we live our humanity, that we can be very negligent in one way or the other. And by what we have done or what we have failed to do, we may have caused a harm one way or the other, and we didn't even know it. And that's so true. So most of us, maybe we have an experience of church that is not positive at all. And some of us, maybe we have been abused by leaders or abused by a neighbor or someone that you trusted in Sunday school, but they didn't act out according to your expectation. And as such, your experience of church was not positive, and you do not love church. So the question of why do we love church is, it might appear to be very offensive of a question. And again, pain, one thing I will say before I move on, pain is everywhere. The truth of the matter, probably most of you are hurting. If you're not hurting, probably you will be, someone's going to hurt you someday, or the other, one or the other, by what they have done or what they failed not to do. Or maybe you're going to hurt someone. I see there's a lady who's beating her boyfriend already. Jamie is being beat here already. I saw him. Maybe one way or the other, that maybe by our behavior we hurt someone one way or the other. But again, I don't want to put down anybody's experience of it. But just to come back to a point of church, it could be a very difficult thing to have people say, I really love church. Because for many, many a time, church have equaled the culture of the day. Maybe we are just bought into so much traditions to a point that we cannot relate to it anymore. Or maybe we have changed so much and swing here and swing there, back and forth, to a point that our experience of it is negative in it. So let me ask you a question, guys. Why do you love church? Why do we love church? I need participation.
Fellowship.
He said we love church because of fellowship. Fellowship is an important asset. It's something that is so important that we come together, brothers and sisters. You know, the scripture talk about in communion. Communion remind us of the true essence of fellowship. That as we take bread, one loaf of bread, we break it and we shred it in 100 pieces or 1,000 pieces if there's 1,000 people in the church, and we all partake of that bread. One baked bread, fat looking one. You know, but it had been taken from grain that had been put and jammed together, grain gathered from all 4 corners of a field and baked into one bread. And in that way, yes, we are one. And church is fellowship. That's right. And why do we love church? Yes.
I experienced the love of Christ through my friends and family.
He experienced the love of Christ through his friend and family. And that's a very important thing, that most of us, we came to church through someone else who have expressed love. Just really a true sense of love and communion and community and care with us. And as such, we came to share that love and that community with others in gathering. And as such, yes, church is a great space where we come to share that communion and that community. That's a great answer. And why do we love church? Yes, sister. Okay. She said she loved the church because God called her here. So many of us, we may not fully understand what does that mean to be called by God in it. But she felt that in her experience of God, that she felt a call. Something pulled her, something attracted her to come to this space called church. It may not be this particular place, but it's a church. So it's God drew her. And truly, there's a sense where the Bible talk about how no one can come to a Father except through me, and except I draw them. So the Father draw people to a specific place, for specific reason and specific action and specific activities and under the Son. So that's great. God call you. And also she said because she loved what God loved. No, Jesus loved the church to a point that he gave his life for them, and that's true, to that point of it. And why then do we love church?
Truly worship God.
Support and mentoring. That's great. Space of worship. Worship is that space that we created. He's created as brothers and sisters gathered together to give glory to God and to celebrate God's presence in our heart and in each other as we meet together to celebrate that. That is such a beautiful thing that happened. God revealed himself. His presence is released in us. He literally download his presence and see grace and his wonderful grace in us. Worship truly is a space out of which health and health, just health grow. The help that comes from God is downloaded to us. It's our space where God manifests himself. That's great worship. And why then do we love church? Yes, sir. Oh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So Bible. Yeah, the Bible as a centering point. Uh-huh. He said that he changed, so many change, but the Bible doesn't change and God's word doesn't change. In the sense, the word of God, it is. That's a great drawing point in that, because of the word of God, the living word of God. That's great. And why then do we love church? Yes, sir. Yeah.
Then when we come together with other saints,
yes. Excellent. Because basically what he says is that Christ loved the church and we are made in his image, and as such, as we live and breathe out what Christ is, that's actually we live in conforming to his image, the image of God, of Christ in us. That's great. That's a good answer. Maybe two more. Why do we love church? Yeah, it's a place of becoming one with the Jews and the Gentiles. It's a place where black and white can gather. It is a space where ladies and gentlemen can gather together, where there is no tribe anymore. There is no division. There is no Jew, no Gentile. It's that place where we're all one and we experience the living God in all of us as created being. Yes, that's good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So then, therefore, to share and have that explained to me.
That's great. Yeah. It's a space where you retool, you resource to more about the Word of God and about how to live. Because the book of Peter said, his divine power has given us everything we need for life. Everything. And the word everything mean everything. Everything you need for life, yes. Okay, that's great. Yeah.
5 years in the church.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of years.
Yeah.
I have seen my beloved family.
Yeah.
Find shipwreck of their faith.
I see.
Because they refuse to come.
Yeah.
And learn.
Okay.
The
yes. Jesus, that's great.
So I would say to all of you, please encourage the family to come to church.
Okay.
I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Okay. That's great. That's right. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of a brethren. Again, it's a place of brotherhood and sisterhood. It's a place where we can truly have fellowship with one another, encouraging one another on and cheering each other to be and become all that God meant us to be. Okay? So I'm going to share a couple of minutes. Just a couple of minutes, and then we're going to bring this whole thing to a close on the point why we gather. The book of Nehemiah have spoken deeply to me. And in many, it's Nehemiah chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. Couple of verses that I want to highlight. Nehemiah lived in a time, day in which the temple and Jerusalem was really shipwrecked. It was broken into pieces. The enemies have come and invaded the land, and they have destroyed every wall of defense that there was ever. And in Nehemiah chapter 4 say that there was so much rubble everywhere. In chapter 2, Nehemiah talked in verse 17. He said, you see, the trouble we are in Jerusalem lies in ruin. Its gate have been burned with fire. He said, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and will no longer be in disgrace. Again, it's about ruins and a place and wall being totally destroyed. And look at what he does. He gathered around himself a community of love, and they begin doing something that I believe is key, and I'm going to share about ABCs of what church could and should really be. And he gathered them around this agenda to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and to rebuild that which was broken. And people begin, like verse 1 of chapter 3, Eliashib, the high priest and his fellow priests, they went to work and rebuilt, notice this, the sheep gate. And then they dedicated to the Lord. Next to him, the fish gate was rebuilt. And then the Jaffna gate was rebuilt. The valley gate was rebuilt. The dung gate, they even have dung gate, the fountain gate. Basically, when you read this text, that the people gather around rebuilding strategic gates. And we are all, and each of us are placed in strategic place, in strategic gates, in strategic garden, so that wherever it is that God has placed us, we begin rebuilding from scratch, rebuilding with all that we are from the skills and the abilities and the passion that God has enabled us in, that we begin to build from wherever it is that we are coming from. So many of us, it may be from a business, some of us from a consulting, and some of us, it may be from, because we are builder, we build houses, but wherever it is that we live, as we live and express all that it is that God gave us to be, we are working at our gate. But notice the word, and he said, next to them, Zachor, son of Imri, built next to them. And you keep on counting, there'll be 10, 12, 15 times. So each built next to him, next to him, next to them, next to them. And this text of Nehemiah reminds us of one thing, that church truly is a space in which we live and be and become next to him, next to someone else. It's about that community. Someone say about fellowship, living as brothers and sisters and neighbor. So I'm going to ask you to put the first slide, please. Guys, what do you see? Anybody? What do you see? Huh? So as two people say, we see square wheels. What? Yeah, that's good. Indeed, there's a square wheel there. There's two, at least, that we can see. What else do you see, guys? Huh? No productivity. She sees no productivity. Huh. Somebody is just seeing square wheels. What do you see, guys? Huh? Yeah? He said that the answer is in the wagon. What do you see, guys? Huh? Tires? Yeah, which kind of tires? Round wheels and then, yeah, yes? Teamwork. Okay, great. So this man sees teamwork. What do you see? You see a square wheel and you see teamwork. Do you see teamwork, guys? What do you see in front? Who do you think the guy in front is or represent? No, the one in front. What do you think he represent? The pastor, yes. It could be, he represent properly, he could represent the pastor. Poor pastor, the guy is there giving it all for Christ's sake and pushing, my goodness. Yeah, he can represent the CEO or the founder of a company. He can represent any one of you, any one of us, maybe in whatever it is that we are doing. But what do you think he's feeling right now? He's burning down? He's burned down? Yeah, and what else? What does he feel? Tired, probably. Yeah, he's probably a little tired. And what else? Frustrated. What is he frustrated over? The square wheels. There's some square wheels there. My goodness. What do you think the people in the back see? What do they see? They're seeing a dead end. Yeah. And what else do they see, guys? A big load. Yeah, they see a huge load. Yeah. And what else? They can't see beyond the burden. If this is a huge, heavy load, it's really incredible burden that they're carrying and they're pushing again. That's really great. How do you think they feel? Huh? Tired, exhausted, and what else? Discouraged, not getting anywhere. Okay. Now guys, where is the solution? Thank you, brother. That's really good. Get the round wheel on the axle. That's great. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know. I think the axle is where the square wheel is. You remove the square wheel and you put the round stuff on it. That might be a great solution. He probably need a prophet to come and scream at him, get the round wheel on, my brother, and you will find some good. Maybe he needed someone, an actor, to come and sing it. Get ye the square wheel out and put the round wheel. Maybe he needed something. What the heck does he need to get it going, guys? Come on. He needs a change. What kind of change? Yeah, he needs a radical change. So, let's see what the next picture said. Next picture. So we're going to have to find a solution to this. So a good solution to this might be, what do we do? Like, so that's where, my goodness, there is power, wonder walking power. We need to power it up, guys. There's one way for us. So we got to really bring the good old John Deere machine on. Let it touch it. Let pull the darn thing. And here we are pulling this thing. What is happening? What do you think? What are you seeing? Somebody help me. What do you see? You see happiness? Hey, happy day, happy day. That's what you see. What do you see? Eh? The problem is still there. Have they solved the problem, really? But what is working and what is not working? The traction? The tractor is working. So you really can't blame this. You can see in the air there is a lot. These days this tractor probably need to be more environmentally friendly. And they need to see geothermic energy. But here they are, really, really pulling. The tractor is working pretty good. And where are the people who are in the back? Or in the front? They're all in the...
Right.
Yeah? They're right there in the car. Okay, let's go back to the first picture, please. This could represent the way we do things. The square will represent the way we have always done things. It represents the way we have always known church. The way we have always done church. And it could represent the way you always do your life. We all live and do our life one way or the other. And so many a time we live in that space, we get so comfortable. And because of that, we know there is a problem somewhere. Something is not turning correct, but we are continually devoted to the same thing again and again and again and again. Someone said that madness, recipe to madness is doing the same thing over and over again. And we keep on doing that. Here's the key thing. So that's how we know church. Someone in the early service said, but the church is the square wheel. I said, really? Tell me, what do you mean? Well, it just doesn't work. And maybe he has a point in which. And one of the ways that we try to make it work is to power it up and we'll bring a big jar. No, the machine can represent what? It can represent, well, let's bring more lively thing. Let's bring more lively praise and worship. Maybe that will make it there. Let's bring more quiet praise and worship and that will change the whole thing. Or let's bring more powerful preacher and that will change the thing. Or let's do this. Oh, we just learned this in the Crystal Cathedral. Let's bring it on and let's power it up. And we're doing it. And all along, how far was the solution? Right there in the cart. Not that far. Not that far. The question to you is this. What is your square wheel? If you can devote this next few minutes in answering that question for your own personal life, what's your personal square wheel that is there? What is it that you're pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing? And you focus on that and you actually ignoring the solution. If you have square wheel, which I believe we all have, you're going to realize most of the time is an indication the solution not that far. And yet we are committed to madness, doing it the way we always do it. I believe we are at a time, a specific time in history in which something needs to change. Because as I speak to you, of course, you know, I've stepped away from active ministry in this church. I've been over a year ago now. And I've been there in the community. I sat in church's pews. And I observed and I seen things. And I try to feel what other people feel. To be there on a pew like everybody else. And come to church like everybody else. Not be just right on the front. And I'm beginning to have some feelings. I have some deep feeling. Every Sunday I pretty much go to a different church and either to speak or either to learn and understand there's a loss of hurting people out there. That's the first thing I see. I'm being very blunt. People are hurting deeply. And they don't even know what they're hurting from. They just know they're hurting. There's incredible amount of hurt. And some have said, well, I'm not being fed enough. And some are saying there's just something not working. And they will turn on the pastor, the poor guy who's pulling. And sometimes that's the best solution to do. But people are hurting and they don't know what is going on. It is very saddening. And one of the things that some people, I see people, they say, well, we are just conforming to the culture. We're just jumping on one wagon after the other and not finding the solution. To tell you the truth, the true solution comes from here. If you as a church, as a community, if you're seeing that there's something and we have as a community some square wheels, I want to remind us all, the solution is not in the United States of America. The solution is not in Africa. The solution is here. And that solution is listening to me today. And that solution is seeing me today. You are. I believe we have all come to a point where we have empowered someone else or a system out there that we entrusted. We thought it will fix church for us. It shall not and it will not and it will never until heaven and earth come. We may gather and have a little moment of Holy Ghost movement and jump here and there, up and down, but it ain't changing, guys. And we scream more, it ain't changing at the end of it all. We ought to come to that space. Where our heart truly, truly begin to speak. We begin speaking the language of our heart. Really. It's not another strategy we need. We need each one of you. So here's A, B, C, D. I'm going to share before closing. True church, the church that we call, number one, the church of God the Church of Christ, God in Christ in the Spirit. The church is only one chapter, one unit of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is much larger than the church. Okay? That's the fact. The church is here to serve the kingdom. The kingdom of God has many other family, other whom, like this Hebrew 11 talk about this cloud of witnesses. That's actually one manifestation of the kingdom of God. The people, the parents, the brothers and sisters that are gone before us, that have died, they are part of the church still. They're part of a kingdom of God in the larger sense. They're part of there, but we're not seeing them with us every day. Heaven itself is one manifestation of God's kingdom. So the church is here to serve God's mission, not the other way around. Mission is not here to serve the church. The church is here to serve mission. It is the mission of God, in the mission of Christ, in the mission of the Holy Spirit. And that is what the church is here for. And whenever we lose touch of that, guys, we fail. We shall fail. And that's truth. That's the word of the Lord for God's people. It's all found in it. And guys, that we all have to create space for each of us to work at our gate, to live our humanity to the best of our ability, whether being a politician, whether being a businessman, whether being the one who cleaned the toilet. In fact, cleaning the toilet is more important than the law. Whatever it is that God, whatever it is that God placed, that we serve diligently. In the church that God called you and I to be, number one, A. A mean all are involved. All must be involved. If we cannot have church where a few people are doing it for us, and whenever you feel that they're doing it to you, brother, you are allowing and empowering someone else to do it. And you know what? And you shall not. It should be our moral duty. Let's claim it back together. Let's hang on to it. Church is the people of God reaching out and living their life in the context that God has set them to be. Let's live our life to the best of our ability. And let's not wait for no one's permission. You don't need my permission to live and express what God in Christ, in His Spirit, have revealed and manifested in your heart. It is your moral duty. And if you can make a difference, you must make a difference. And that means in our community. You know, I have a friend of mine who's now working and as a consultant over in Quebec. It's incredibly touching a whole community, a First Nation. Beautiful. And then that man, he's as much of a pastor than any one of us. He's reaching out through his consulting duties and he's serving to the best of his ability. That's what God called you to do. Whatever the gate, to walk to the best of your ability. If you are a chaplain, be the best chaplain that everybody who come out of jail say, she's my pastor, he's my pastor. Guys, we are called to live our lives and express our understanding of the kingdom to the best of our ability. B mean becoming like Christ. A mean all are involved. B mean becoming like Christ in word and in deed. That our commitment is to become like Christ. That means to incarnate. That's what we call incarnation. To live Christ to our neighbor, to our brothers or sisters who are staying next to us. Be becoming like Christ. Not just in word, but in deed. What would Jesus do to truly live that expression? See, mean that we are a community that creates a community of care, a community of love, just like Nehemiah, creating that community of love around the poor, a community of love around the elderly, a community of love around the widow and the widower, a community of love around those that are weeping, a community of love around those that need help the most. This is our calling. It's our duty, and we cannot and must not delegate it to any organization, any system. I don't care what the name of that organization is, and I don't care who is the person serving in that. Really, it's all about each one of us reaching and working next to one another. A mean all are involved. And you know what? If you're not involved somewhere, brother, you're making a drastic mistake. You got to come back to it. Do not let anybody by their life or by boldness actually shy you from doing what it is God has put your heart to do. That no one, yeah, you don't empower anybody in your life to have that power over you. Yeah. Because we all ought to give an account of not what Daniel did, not what Todd did, what Bill did, or anybody. It's what you have done with the revelation God has given you. If it's through the art, do that. If it's through music, do that. Let no one actually shame you. Be mean, becoming like Christ. Do it the Christ way. To becoming like Christ in word and in deed, in act of service. See, creating a community of care. So many a time we see people, our community, we just want to be a people who are solution givers. You know, just really cure. We want to produce cure. We think our church is a place for cure. At the end of the day, it's revealed we're not. You know what we are called? If someone asked me this morning, how is Bridges of Hope doing? I said, not good. But I said, we're being very faithful. We're not successful, we're very faithful. To the degree we can. You're never called to be successful. You're called to be faithful. Just 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Be faithful to the best of your ability. I'm not saying give me a call and ask me what's going on. That's not the point. I'm not asking for anything, please. I'm just really expressing the truth of it all. That is about for us to be and create a community of care. And if you see a need, meet the need. If you see a challenge, meet the challenge. That's you are empowered to do so. It's about the people of God reaching out wherever it is that God call them. A, all are involved. B, becoming like Christ in word and deed. C, creating a community of care and love. And D, doing missionally. I mean, doing missionally, reaching out. If just reaching out, I love what is happening at Street Alive. Great. I love what is happening with our children more and just to helping them and sponsoring them and helping us create a community of love in Lethbridge, a community that is safe for our children and our grandchildren here in Lethbridge. That's really what it is, great citizenship. That's what it turned out to be. To be a good Christian doesn't mean you're a good in church. It means you're a good citizen. That's right. And that we're doing missionally, you are really involved in being a missionary agency as a people, brothers and sisters, reaching out to our neighbor, reaching out to our brother. Hey, this year, I'll give you a challenge. Meet two neighbors, two of your neighbor. Talk to them, have them for coffee, and bring them some cookie. Reach out and see the good that's going to create in their heart. Go, when you go there, don't go there and try to change them and convert them. Just give it up. You can't convert nobody, man. You can't save nobody. No one can come to a Father unless through me, Christ said. Leave people alone. Don't heckle them. Just be normal. Reach out. Just bring a barrel of cookie, man. That's all. And 344 Leaside Avenue is a good place to come. Let me conclude with this story. There was in Ireland not too long, a few years ago, a man who was walking down the street. And as he was walking the street, he saw the children who were there really playing by themselves in despair and hungry. And then he saw that the parents were drunk. They were drunk. And drunk in the morning, drunk in the afternoon, drunk in the evening, drunk. And then that man keep on walking the street and he got so touched and moved inside him. And then he began wondering, what could I do? And being a Christian, he asked the Lord. And as he asked the Lord came to him through a thought. And the thought was this: I want you to brew them a beer that would do them good. Can you imagine that? In my denomination, this is heresy. You can't do that. But the man went and began exercising his heart. He brewed the beer. A beer so good and so rich in iron, it became the national drink of Ireland. And, of course, he gave his name to the beer, Guinness. And with Guinness, it was so good that when people are pregnant, they use Guinness. Really good. Of course, the Guinness of today is probably more potent than the Guinness of then. And then, of course, what happened with the proceeds that he got, he began really helping the people. And he was able to fund Hassan, an incredible missionary to India, set up missionary schools, educational health facilities all around the world. Basically, just exercising and living at his gate, doing what he knew he could do best, what he knew he can be best in the world at. He did that. Incredible amount of people came to know the Lord, and value was created for thousands and thousands of people in India, in Canada, and around the world. You know, the Guinness Bridge in Vancouver still testifies of it, and his family still live here in Vancouver. Incredible story. Here's a man who did something and made a difference. Next, he was walking the street again, and then he saw a man weeping. This time, a few years down, he sees a man weeping. And it was not him weeping, it was another man weeping. So next to him, so every time you think your weeping is alone, someone else is weeping over something. You just never know. You never see it. And as he went there, he saw that man, and he approached the guy, put his, you know, his hand on his shoulder and said, "Son, what's going on? What are you weeping over?" It's amazing. It's the same road that they were journeying. And many people see different things. And in that same way, you see so much that I don't see. That's why we need all of us. And the man said, "I'm weeping for the children." Just the same way Guinness wept years before. So what are you weeping over? He said, "Well, the parents are drunk. And the children are in the street. They have no parents, no home to go to." And he bent over and asked the man, he said, "What will you do if you have all the money in the world?" He said, "Of course I'll build them homes." And he said, "I'll write you the check." From that day on, the man began building home for children all around the world. He's known. He is the founder of what is called the Barnardo Homes. He lived his dream, and next to him, he created a space for someone else to live their dream. And because of such, they created a tapestry of love, a community of fellowship where so much good and value is created. My brother and my sister, this is what we're called to do, to live our life to the best of our ability, to serve diligently. A few weeks ago, one of the doctors called me and said, "Daniel, I want you to come and see this brother who doesn't have long to live." And as I went to the hospital, I visited him. He's an orphan, and he's old now. And as I began talking to the brother, he said, "Well, I know I have cancer. I don't have long to live now." And I say, "What could I do for you?" And he said, "Daniel, I'm renting a place now. And I don't know, I can't take care of myself. The only thing I want to die beside someone." Never Mary said, "I just want to be in the house where there's someone, so that when I die, someone will notice that I'm actually dead." And this is in Lethbridge. I sat down with a fellow and I began thinking, do we bring this guy into our own home? Yeah. If I do, I mean, my children are going to actually one day wake up and see a dead body in the house. How inconvenient would that be for me and for my children? Me, who's used to so much death, now I fear death for my own children. I fear the death of someone else. I fear the suffering of others, lived out and demonstrated from my own. You know what? I'm sad to say I haven't found a home for that brother yet. He probably will die soon. But the testimony of that man's story, the way he lived his life so alone, this reminds us that many, many, many hundreds are living the same way. And as church, as we live an express church, we can create a home for these people. Until I die, until the day I die, I want to help people like that because I see myself in them. And you know what? You probably see yourself in them too. And that's why I want to reach out and help people like that. We got all the money in the world to do that. We got all the means, all the home. And say, why would I be thinking that this guy doesn't deserve my home? Why? Just because he's dying. And truly living church calls us and compels us all to overcome our fear and our need for invulnerability, our need for our own comfort. And that's the square wheel. Yes, me, myself, is all about me. Maybe you should get a little bit uncomfortable so someone else could be a little bit more comfortable. If you can, you must. And the good thing, no, the worst thing that can happen is for good people like us to do nothing. Brother and sister, that's all I have to share. I'm sorry it's not the most flashiest of sermon or message, but I do hope that it spoke to your heart and that you can reach out in one way or the other to the best of your ability and serve as you can. Let us pray. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, O creature here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The Lord give you His peace. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
If there's anyone that needs prayer, even for what was spoken today, or just anything, we have prayer teams up at the front, prayer stations, so please feel free to come up and have prayer. Be blessed and be round wheels. Bye.